Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jay Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. It is so nice out. If you have the chance to get outside today, I highly, or open the windows. You could actually open up the windows. It is cool enough and the breeze is lovely. And if you would like to join the show, you can call, you can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or what used to be Twitter. Coming up at 11:33, as he does every other Thursday, the Acme Packing Company sports guru, Paul Noonan, will be here to talk all things sports. And then we're going to have Brittany Merlot, one of our civic media meteorologists, at 11:50 for weather and wine. And we're going to talk about, we're not in a drought anymore, which is good.
Yep.
And now we're drowning. So, and they're actually holding some fundraisers around the state for farmers who cannot get into their fields because it's so wet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is like, this almost feels like winter all over again, where we have businesses that are struggling because we can't get snow and ice.
Yeah. So Brittany's going to join us at 11:50 to talk about the conditions around the state and what we have coming up. I think we even have more rain coming in tomorrow night, at least here in southeastern Wisconsin. So Brittany can talk about what's happening all around the state, because we know you are all around the state. If you are just joining us right before we did the 11 o'clock news, Greg and I, courtesy of Penny from La Crosse, came up with a bing bong bingo card for tonight's presidential debate. If you want to play along at home, and you can actually download it after the show is over, go to civicmedia.us, go to Matt Nair on Air, and then that will take you to the show notes. Download, look at our number one from today's show.
Our number one's title is called Rebranding the Bribe.
Nice.
Thank you.
And in there will be a file, and you can download and then print off our Bing Bong Bingo presidential debate card and give you something to do while you're watching the debate tonight.
I just want to hear you say Bing Bong Bingo.
It just makes me laugh.
Bing Bong Bingo.
Lori listening here on WAUK says, I'm in Lake Geneva where the sound of cicadas have been replaced with the sound of chainsaws from the storms. I believe it. She is looking forward to bingo tonight.
Oh,
wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So go and download that. Greg gets the show notes done. It takes about 45 minutes to an hour once we get off the air. This broke just as we were coming on the air this morning, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday at this time with Dr. Yeah. Kristen Lierley. Supreme Court has ruled that hospitals in Idaho that get federal money must allow emergency abortion care to stabilize patients, even though abortions are strictly banned. The court ruled this today. It got prematurely posted yesterday. Whoopsies. The court's decision, however, does not address the substance of the case. So, okay, now hospitals in Idaho do have to provide emergency medical care for women who are miscarrying. But this is still not resolved.
No.
It's still going through now lower courts. So this is a delay tactic.
Absolutely.
This is only to delay until after the election.
And forgive me, and this has to do with more my lack of medical training than being a man, but who decides when the mother is quote unquote miscarrying enough? Please do not take offense at that.
That's
because
true.
It's so vague.
Yes.
When you say emergency, who determines that? Does the state with their holding their no abortions ban or their abortion ban over their heads to make them fear? I'm sorry, I didn't say that correctly. Basically, if a doctor is facing a problem where a woman
comes in
and it's like, obviously you need to have an abortion. We need to take care of this or you will die. There is no strict guideline then that protects that doctor and that mother from being prosecuted under the law. So this notion that emergency access, who determines that? And can the state of Idaho come back retroactively
and prosecute?
So this doesn't really solve as much as I want it to. It's frustrating because once again, we're holding the lives of women in their hands and they don't really care, because if they die, they die.
Yes. And what's in here really blows my mind. The Biden administration sued Idaho in 2022 over this, saying this strict abortion ban conflicts with federal law and requiring emergency abortions to address threatening health conditions short of death, such as organ failure or loss of fertility. So even if the woman would have kidney failure because of the fact that she is miscarrying, mm-hmm. or even if this is going to prevent her from having any further children,
yeah.
affecting her fertility, they still wouldn't give it to her. Only if you're going to die. So organ failure, loss of fertility, yeah, it happens. It's just the way it is.
And then I ask the question again. Only if she's going to die, there will be people out there who will say, you don't know until she's dead. Because in that last second, she could come back. People hold that because it's not about medical. It's not about science at that point. It's about something else. And when they're thinking to themselves, well, at any moment, a miracle can happen and they can come back to life right now. And you would have done this. You should be in jail.
Well, and he's, even as Dr. Lyerly said yesterday, and she has done emergency procedures. She is an OBGYN. Yes. This is what she does.
Yes.
And she said, if I'm in the middle of emergency at 2 o'clock in the morning and my patient needs care, I need to be talking to her and my other medical colleagues, not a lawyer.
Yep. Yes.
To find out what care I can provide.
Yeah.
That is not being responsible to my patient.
That's the next line of cases we're going to come through the Supreme Court, which is liability shields for doctors who believe they are providing the best care, but then the aftermath proves otherwise, making them prosecutable, that's a word, by the state or the whomever at that point, whether it's the city, the state. Those are the cases we're going to see come through the court, saying the Supreme Court says, yes, doctors have to work in the best with the best
interest
information
of the patient.
With the information they have, with the best interest, they have to make a decision. And after the fact, if that's the case, whatever, they are protected or they're not protected. I swear, mark my words, today's date, the 27th of June, we will see those cases come to the Supreme Court. Liability shields for doctors in the case of abortion access.
Who wants to go into that field?
I mean,
how are we going to get more OBGYNs? and especially in states that don't allow abortion. We're already seeing them fleeing. We are seeing OBGYNs fleeing from these states. And now women who want to have children have to travel hours for checkups.
Well, and that's the thing. I can't remember if it was on Pat's show or if it was yesterday with Dr. Lyerly with regard to talking about her campaign. She's the only OBGYN, if to be elected, a pro-choice OBGYN. All the other ones, I don't know how many there are in the Senate and the House, they're all pro-life. That's who they'll attract, are OBGYNs who will guilt you into having the baby, show you, want to give you a sonogram that shows you the baby, the heartbeat, all the things that those crisis centers do.
Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson is among the dissenters in this case, and she essentially said there is no good reason that the Supremes could not decide this now.
Yeah.
Without having to put it again in suspension. Yes, okay, now women can go back and get emergency care at emergency rooms if they're miscarrying, but this is not completely decided yet.
No.
So they're pushing this away because they don't want to talk about it, and they don't want Republican candidates to have to talk about it before the November election.
Yeah.
And please do not kid yourself that they are going to be reasonable about restrictions. And they're not going to be reasonable about access to contraception. And that is going to extend and is extending to IVF. And they can remove stuff from their official websites. They can backtrack all they want and try to make their previous opinions about these issues disappear. Mm-hmm. They just want you to forget.
Exactly.
We're not going to let you.
Just look at the makeup of the court right now and try to think about where these decisions are going to go on healthcare access for women. Just think about that. Look at the court and then ask yourself, where do you think this is going to go?
Justice Jackson saying, we cannot wind back the clock to how things were before the court injected itself into this matter. We allowed the Idaho law to go into effect by staying the district court's injunction in the first place. Then we let this sit on our docket for 5 months while we considered the questions. Now it is too little too late for the court to take a mulligan and just tell the lower courts to carry on as if none of this has happened. As the old adage goes, the court has made this bed, so now it must lie in it by proceeding to decide the merits of the critical preemption issue this case presents.
That was the Supreme Court justice version of bringing the receipts, saying exactly what was going on, and laying it out plainly too, which decisions don't always do. They're like amendments on ballots. They're confusing sometimes. And she's like, here are our cards, all twos.
Beat that.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, they did beat that.
Yep.
But as we talked with Dr. Lyerly yesterday, and I refer back to this nice caller who called into Todd Alba's show one day when he was talking about this, and this was about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And she said, well, they're not forcing women whose fetus has died to carry it to full term. Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Yes, this is happening in Texas. We talked about a specific case yesterday.
Yeah.
Her baby died at 6 months. She had to carry it to term and delivered it, and it lived for 3 days, 4 days.
Yeah.
So instead of having the first birthday, she was planning its funeral.
That's not pro-life. That's torture.
We're going to lighten things up when we return.
Yeah.
And you can always join us at 855-752-4842. There's something going on in downtown Milwaukee that I think should be statewide. Don't go away. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in sunny, beautiful downtown Waukesha. Join the conversation, call, text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. We were just talking about the Supreme Court decision that came down right before we went on the air this morning that will allow women who are having a miscarriage get actual treatment at emergency rooms for now. And we were just wondering, Dr. Kristen Lyerly is obviously, she's running for Congress for Mike Gallagher's old seat. And if she will win, she will be the first pro-choice OBGYN in Congress. And Calvin,
the only woman.
And the only woman. Yeah, you found some interesting stuff too, Kel.
Yeah, this is according to Wikipedia, so... They usually cite their sources pretty well, so I'll take it for this kind of thing. There's only two OBGYNs in Congress. One is of a male senator from Kansas.
Oh, great.
And the other is a male congressman from Texas.
Oh, even better.
There are 19 total physicians in Congress, 15 in the House, 4 in the Senate, only two of which are women.
Great. Great. And is Rand Paul considered a doctor?
Yeah, he's an eye doctor.
Okay, that he gave himself.
He
certified himself.
What?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he gave himself his own certification. You may want to check on that.
Jane, hold on 1 second. Guess what? I'm a lawyer now.
That's okay, ladies. We don't have to worry here in Wisconsin. We have a veterinarian who knows all about women's reproductive health because he's delivered lots of cows.
Yeah.
So we got nothing to worry about.
If I can, I will find that clip. And
From our veterinarian?
From our expert.
I'm sorry.
On reproduction.
Women's reproduction.
My goodness.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cast aspersions. That's unfair. All right. This is happening today until Saturday night at 11 p.m. You still have time to take part. It's the National Square Dancing Convention.
Yeah!
Happening at the Baird Center in Milwaukee. This is the first time the National Square Dancing Convention has been in Milwaukee since 1979. So welcome back, you square dancers.
We missed you.
The tagline for this year's event, a great convention in a great city on a great lake. Which reminds me, can we go back to a great city on a great lake for a slogan?
I don't see why not.
That was a pretty good slogan.
That's a great slogan. That's a Great Lake slogan.
Great city on a great lake.
Yeah. What is it now? Does Milwaukee even have one?
Well, we can't agree on a flag.
Well, the flag thing is it sticks in my craw, let me tell you something fierce. But I will give you a small little story about my connection with square dancing.
You have a square dancing connection.
It's nothing professional or anything, but I think from first grade until fourth grade, fifth grade, it was always a unit in phys ed. There was always square dancing to be taught. I learned a do-si-do and promenade.
Promenade. That very much, I have memories of grade school.
Yeah.
Square dancing. Calvin?
I don't have any connections to square dancing, but I do have a connection to country dancing generally. My parents met line dancing.
Really?
What?
Yeah. In
say more
95, 96, something like that.
Here in Wisconsin?
They met line dancing in Wisconsin, yes.
Is that the story now that they tell? Do you sit around and they tell that story on their anniversary?
I've heard it plenty of times, but it's not something they talk about too often anymore.
That's really cute.
If it wasn't for Boot, Scoot, and Boogie, you wouldn't be here, boys. You better appreciate the dance.
Attendees at this year's National Square Dancing Convention happening right now at the Baird Center in Milwaukee. You can learn to dance, call the steps. There are sessions for people. Also, this is great. There are sessions for people who use scooters and wheelchairs. That's really cool.
Love that.
That is really cool. Brenda Deal, the president of the National Square Dancing Convention, says if you say you can't dance because you have two left feet, not a problem. We'll help you. We'll walk you through the moves.
I feel like you start with square dancing, then you move up to line dancing.
Is that the progression?
I think so, because line dancing, while square dancing is beautiful and it's got a lot of deep, rich history and culture.
It is more complicated.
Square dancing?
I think so.
I don't know. I feel like line dancing is more like your hips are moving, and you have to worry about bumping into other people. There's a countrified electric slide nature to it where like you could ruin the whole thing with just a slip up. But I respect both as art forms.
I think this is great.
Yeah.
We'll put a link in the show notes. And again, I think that's really cool. If you're in a scooter or a wheelchair, that you are more than welcome to take part in square dancing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Down at the Baird Center in downtown Milwaukee. Mark from Prairie du Sac. Good morning, Mark. Thank you for joining us.
You mentioned square dancing. I remember it just popped in my head. I think I was in 10th grade. And I was studying outside the gym class, the gym classroom where the girls had their PE class, and they're actually doing square dance down there. So the PE instructor actually grabbed me and dragged me in there, but I was square dancing with the girls. So that was a lot of fun. I mean that pleasant memory there that because I hadn't done it before, I think, but they actually had square dancing as getting in shape in the girls' PE class.
That's absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much, Mark. That's a great memory. And again, when you started talking about that, Greg, I'm sure we had a square dancing chapter in FIAD.
Oh, yeah.
When I was in grade school. And that's probably like the first time that boys and girls ever danced together. Right? I
mean, yeah.
Because you had to touch each other. You had to hold hands or put your arm around the waist. It was like, ooh.
I don't think, yeah, exactly. They got to you when girls and boys were yucky to each other.
Well, you still had a cooties.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you had to overcome the cootie factor.
Girl germs, no returns. Yeah, you didn't go to your real first middle school dance until middle school, like sixth grade. That's when you touched the waist of a young female if you were a young male, mm-hmm. and then you left. I went to Catholic school, lots of room for the Holy Spirit, but most of the time you just sat back by the punch and you just looked across
and you watched everybody
and you're like, I want to ask someone to dance. Then oh, I'm being picked up in 5 minutes next year, and then it didn't happen the next year either.
Ah, oh, the fun memories of grade school.
Cal, did you get that? Clip of Joel Kitchens.
Yep, I have it.
Do we have enough time to listen to it?
The question is whether abortion is health care. And if you believe that a fetus is a human life, then abortion is not health care. You know, in my veterinary career, I did thousands of ultrasounds on animals, you know, determining pregnancy and that kind of thing. So I think I know mammalian fetal development better than probably anyone here. And in my mind, there's absolutely no question that's a life. And I think the science backs me up on that. But
that's all we need to know from him. Thanks,
that's
Joel.
All you need, ladies. We're all good. Douglas from Madison, I see you have a question, and I will address that in just a second. We're up against the clock. News is coming up next, and then the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan will be here to talk about sports. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yeah, Cadillac, blackjack, baby, meet me out back. We're gonna blow it. Yeah, get down, turn around, go to town, boot, scoot, boogie. I said, get down, turn around, go to town, boot, scoot, boogie. Whoa, get down, turn around, go to town, boot, scoot,
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text, same number, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC, or on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before the break, we were talking about a Supreme Court decision that came down today regarding women who need emergency abortion care in Idaho can now go get it at emergency rooms, which they were not able to do before. And we started talking about a number of the right-wing politicians who are trying to disappear their support for the overturn of Roe versus Wade and all these pretty restrictive and I would say harmful restrictions on abortion. And I misspoke, and I wanted to address this real quickly. Doug from Madison said, I'm very pro-abortion rights. Your description of the Texas case was confusing. I think you said in Texas, you're required to carry a dead baby to term, but then after delivery, it only lived a few minutes. If it was dead, wouldn't it have been a stillborn? Did I hear you wrongly? I'm sorry about that, Doug, and I did phrase that incorrectly. In Texas, this is my understanding, if the fetus dies at 6 months, you still have to carry it to term. If your fetus has a fatal anomaly, which means they're only going to live for a short time after delivery, In both of those instances, you have to carry it to term. So I hope that helps clarify that. Again, if the baby has no heartbeat at 6 months, you still have to carry it mm-hmm. through 9 months. If it's determined that your baby is going to die shortly after delivery, you still have to carry it to term. Okay. So that's where that is. All right. He joins us every other Thursday at this time to talk all things sports. He is the Acme Packing Company sports guru. Paul Noonan is here. Good morning, Paul. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Greg Bach is very excited because he is now taking credits for the Brewers sweep over the Texas Rangers. And I think we should give it to you.
I only take credit for the winning of the series because I was at two of the three games. I'm a humble man, Jane. I'm not going to take credit for the sweep. That's not what I'm here about. I just saw Rhys Hoskins hit a grand slam in the sixth inning on Monday. on the first pitch, like he's saying, enough of this mess. Let's go home already. Against the World Series champions, Texas Rangers. So, you know, just I'm keeping it humble right now. Garcon, another drink, please. Thank you.
I am very in favor of the idea that you are responsible for the games that you attend. So, yeah.
You can buy that, right?
Absolutely do to Greg. And all the Grand Slams lately, I think we can attribute to him as well. So get more tickets.
Go to more games. Go to more games. They have been playing some good baseball, though.
They've been really outstanding lately, and in fun and weird ways. They have hit a ton of Grand Slams lately. Bryce Terang started off the streak. Rhys Hoskins and Jake Bowers have hit them recently as well. And over that same streak, Jackson Churio has recorded both an inside the park home run and what we like to call a little league home run. That was he made it all the way around the bases, but he had some help from the defense on that. Although Major League Baseball errors are kind of more of an art than a science, and those two hits were kind of the same thing. So they've been good, though. Like I think everybody was a little worried about the Rangers series and that they might drop one or two. The Cardinals have been very hot on the other side of the division, but just can't make up any ground on the Brewers because the Brewers just are keeping everybody at bay. So they struggled against San Diego, but they've righted the ship, and they look good down the stretch here. They have the Cubs coming in, and the Cubs are just a mess. So everything is going very, very well for Milwaukee at the moment.
And the Cubs are such a mess, which just gives so many people so much joy.
They are. It's funny because we obviously don't like Chicago. And aside from that, they should be good. You know, they're rich. They have tons of money. There's no reason they shouldn't have the best development system and the best technology and the best scouting and can pay free agents as much money as they want, and they're still bad in spite of all of that. So it's very fun to beat them. It's just a good time. I should mention the Brewers also did trade for Dallas Keuchel, a once great pitcher for the Houston Astros, who is, you know, on the backside of his career, can't really throw hard anymore. His shoulder's made out of cellophane and barbed wire, and did not do great in his first start with the team, but they'll probably take him into the lab between now and his next start and see if they can maybe get a few more ground balls out of him and see how that goes. But they need some starting pitchers. So they'll probably cycle quite a few guys through for the next few days here.
I got to say, speaking of like with regard to like Dallas Keuchel, two things on this on the topic of Pat Murphy. I feel like with every passing week, Milwaukee just and Brewers fans in total just continue to fall more in love with Pat Murphy. And his just shucks darn. I feel like he needs to give a masterclass teaching post game interviews to Doc Rivers, because Pat just comes out there, and if they win, he's happy. If they lose, he's respectful, and he gives you a good recap of what went on. But also the text message he sent Dallas Keuchel was absolutely hilarious. So we acquire this pitcher from Houston, and he sends him a text. It's like, hi, I'm your new coach for the team that just acquired you. If you please, when you give a free moment, please give me a call to talk about your attributes or lack thereof for the team. Can't wait to be. It was really sweet. He sent a text message to the kid. It was so funny. I love Pat Murphy so much. Never get rid of him, the Brewers.
And I should clarify, Keuchel was most recently with the Twins.
Oh, gotcha.
He's been quite the journeyman over the last several years.
Yeah.
After his injuries kind of robbed him of effectiveness, but he made a name for himself with Houston. He was actually part of the Astros banging scandal, which is what we like to call it in baseball.
Okay.
The cheating that they did via hitting the garbage can in the back. He was a prominent member of that. So,
you knew what you were doing when you said banging scandal, Paul.
People like to give dirty names to baseball scandals. It's one of it's one of baseball's proudest things that they do.
I can't remember who said this, but Greg, it might have even been you before we got on the air. So yeah, there have been a couple grand slams, but you said what about the inside the park home runs?
Yeah.
It's like what Keystone Cops or something.
It's like watching cartoons. Like you should hear that because the ball has to go a different direction. It has to be completely fouled up. And since he like the guy who was going for, I don't know who the player was, but he went for the diving catch and it just went right past him. And then he had to go running after it. And then basically like, you might as well just kick the ball while you're at it, lose your hat, your pants fall down, and the game is over.
Yep. It's funny the way they call those things. There's this is totally not the rule of baseball, but there's an unwritten rule that outfielders are only charged with errors if they touch the ball before it hits the ground. And a dive like that is almost never called an error, even though there was no reason to do that. He could have just held him to a single had he just pulled up and kept it in front of him. It wasn't hit very hard at all. It barely made it to the wall. But that is sort of the unwritten baseball scorer's rule of the outfield. And that's why one of those was a home run and one of them was a single and a three base error, a double, and whatever it was. Yeah. Should mention, though, Churio does now have the two fastest home to home times in baseball this season. He is very, very, very fast. And it's like 14 and 2/10 of a second from home to home on those two home runs. So he does make it hard on you. If you make any mistake, he's going to get around the bases very, very quickly.
And when he slid on the in the park home run, he did look like a little kid who just slid into home. He had a look on his face, just a little like little smile, like I did it. And it was great. It was great.
It was.
Paul Noonan joins us every other Thursday at this time to talk all things sports. He is with the Acme Packing Company, and we're delighted to have him here. NBA draft, is that getting underway tonight, Paul?
So the second round is getting underway tonight. The first round was yesterday, and the Bucks, I think, surprised a lot of people. They took AJ Johnson, who is playing for a professional team in Australia. He is 19 years old. He is 160 pounds soaking wet. And one of the reasons that this was a surprise is the Bucks window is like about to close. It is on the verge of closing, and they are very strapped for cash salary cap wise. They have a very old team, and the one thing they needed was role players who can step in immediately, and that is not this. So they're very limited in what they can do to add people just because they're up against it. To make any major additions, they probably need to move either Bobby Portis or Brooke Lopez, and both of those would have serious knock-on effects. And so picking a prospect who's likely not going to contribute for 3 or 4 years is a really strange call by them. He also needs to develop into his body a little bit more. He's 160 pounds. He's going to get killed if he plays right now. He probably won't, but they do have a pick tonight. And so I think everybody's hoping and looking for people that they might pick that can step in as some kind of role player right away, either as a backup rim protector or a 3-point shooter or something along those lines.
How tall is this kid that weighs 160 pounds?
So he's 6'4" without shoes. He is a shooting guard.
yeah, he must turn sideways and you can't even see him. I mean, he should be great to have on the court. You can't find him.
It's a high wind. Hold him down.
Yeah, if you haven't seen what AJ Johnson looks like, he looks like a little kid. Like, he really, really does. Now, he is an exceptional athlete. He runs the floor very well. All scouting reports have him with a very high basketball intelligence in terms of like reading the floor and getting around on it. But he is very much a work in progress. So we'll have to see how he turns out. But it is the Bucks love their young developmental prospects. They've gone to that well many times. It's paid off once. But it is their thing, and they do it a lot.
Calvin.
Yeah, I know nothing about the kid really. I think he's most likely not gonna pan out to anything, but I did see online he was not invited to be in the green room for the draft last night, so he purchased him and his family tickets to be in the audience for the draft. So I will say that's one of those stories that, like, if he does become a superstar, that's kind of a foundational story that you hear about.
And yet the Bucks get another sweetheart of a little boy on their team. They're all good boys.
Well, but I just think about it, and maybe I'm wrong, but when Giannis started, he was kind of a lanky kid too. He certainly wasn't the beefy monster he is now.
Google Giannis before and after. It is he puts on a whole second Giannis. That's what he looks like.
Just
now.
In muscle mass.
Yeah.
I think the big difference there is just it was very clear Giannis was going to be a very tall, rangy player. And you could project mass onto Giannis and see that what was possible there. You know, he already had the frame. He just needed to add to it. This is more of a can we transform this athletic profile into a dynamic shooting guard and also improve on his shot, which is it's good, but it's not great. So I think there's a lot more projecting into AJ Johnson. And hopefully it pans out. Like, sometimes you get stars this way, you know. High upside guys, if you're going to get them late, they have to have some issues. They have to be young. They have to be small. and hopefully that it does work out. But man, he looks like a sweet kid right now.
What you talked about, the Bucks have kind of a limited wallet at this point. Who are some of the teams that can really splash out for some players this time around?
Salary cap in the NBA is very, very difficult to actually make any heads or tails out of. Like, well, it's the most complicated one. Minnesota actually just traded their first round pick in 2031 to get a player, like a decent role player back.
Wow.
So that's what you're dealing with on the NBA side. You can, like, people are making deals for 7 years in advance just to fill out rosters. And I'll be honest, I have no idea who has any kind of, well, it, the other thing is, like, when you do trades, you have to match up salary caps perfectly. And so it's not just how much space you have. It's how many, like, expiring contracts and assets you have. It is a full-time job. NBA salary or NFL salary cap is complicated enough, and that I actually do know pretty well. The, like, you need, like, an entire engineering degree to be an NBA cap master.
Wow. I appreciate that. I had no idea it was that complicated. That's crazy.
Oh, Calvin also says there's the luxury tax that the NFL, I don't think the NFL has.
The NFL is just hard cap. Yeah, that's Calvin's point. The NBA, the cap isn't even, well, it's kind of the cap, but whenever there's a luxury tax involved, then it's like, will ownership pony up to go over it? So, which its own kind of baseball has a luxury tax threshold, and like the Yankees could theoretically spend another $100 million, but they don't. We don't have that problem in Milwaukee, fortunately. So
no, we don't.
We're not getting close to that puppy.
Paul Noonan joins us every other Thursday. You can check him out at the Acme Packing Company for all things sports. Thank you so much, Paul. We'll see you in a couple.
See you in a couple.
When we return, Brittany Merlot will be here to talk weather and wine. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Call or text, it's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. She joins us every Thursday at this time to talk weather and wine. Brittany Merlot is here. Good morning, Brittany. To talk all about the weather, what kind of forecast are we looking at for, let's say, Waukesha, first of all, for the next couple of days.
Next couple of days. All right. So we've got some nice calm weather today, the high pressure in place. How's the cool down, by the way? Are you enjoying it?
It is so nice out. People, you can actually open up your windows for a day and turn off the air conditioning and get some fresh air going through the house, if that's your thing.
Oh, so nice. Yesterday I had the windows open with that breeze. It was just blowing things around.
Yeah, it was, but it's so nice to get that fresh air going through.
I walked out of the house this morning and was like, ooh, it's crisp out.
Chilly.
It sure is. So we're going to actually hold on to those cooler, below average temperatures all the way through about Monday to Tuesday next week.
Great.
That's when we're finally going to start to bump up a little bit. And then by Wednesday, Thursday, that humidity is coming back. So just in time for the holiday, right? And so are those mosquitoes. Ew.
Oh, I can't wait to grill on Friday.
Ugh. Well, Friday you should be okay, but because Brittany said, what, the cooler temps with us until Monday.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're talking about next Friday?
Friday the 5th.
Oh, Friday the 5th. Yeah, you're going to be miserable.
Yeah, we all are. It's okay. But this Friday, tomorrow, we're going to be a little wet, especially the further west that you live in the state or the further north. We are going to be looking at showers pushing in by the morning, kind of a dry break throughout the afternoon, but then some showers and storms fire up by the afternoon and push through the evening tomorrow. So we are looking at anywhere from a quarter of an inch to 3/4 of an inch of rainfall. And then not to mention the heaviest hit, potentially, at least what it's looking like right now, is right near Prairie du Chien, Richland Center, you know, the area that's flooding, that doesn't need any more rain.
Any more rain, exactly.
My goodness.
Yes, so trouble for them. Obviously, rivers, creeks, streams are, you know, they're either at minor flood stage, moderate flood stages. The Mississippi itself up north is hitting major flood stages. In fact, records are being set in Minnesota. Of course, heavy rain way up there. It's all got to come filtering down, yep. And that filters through our area. So a lot of issues with that. We don't need any more rain. Tomorrow we will get that rain. Clears on out. Saturday will be a warmer day. It's going to be pretty dry, pretty nice out there, clearing by the afternoon. Sunday is going to be pretty cold. I'm talking upper 60s to low 70s.
Love it.
That's it.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. That's my weather. That's my happy spot.
Brittany, that's not cold. I was waiting for you to be like, it's going to be the low 40s. I'd be like, oh, that's weird for July.
After it came out of my mouth, I was like, all right, that's a little drastic. But, you know, I made a post yesterday on Facebook. I was like, I prefer 32 degrees over 102. There, I said it. It's true.
You know what? Honestly, I would say the same. 32, I can handle that. 102, it's like,
no,
I can put layers on. I don't want to, like, you know, I my body's built like it's got 5 sweaters on it anyway. So
let's talk a little bit about currents have been crazy.
Yes, they have been. So
and dangerous.
Yeah. Did you hear about that little tsunami on Lake Michigan that kind of went over towards Holland?
Just this morning.
Yeah, me too. So then I had to dig in and do some research about it. At first, I thought Pat was talking about a siege, which is kind of a wind event that makes the water in the lake kind of rock back and forth like a bathtub. I thought that's what he was talking about at first, but the more research that I did, it was actually because of those storms that pushed through and the major pressure changes caused these waves to just surge. So like a mini tsunami like went over towards the east coast of Lake Michigan. It only rose the water about 2 feet, flooded some beaches, wasn't too major, but the more research that I did on it, this has happened on the other side of the lake. It has happened in Chicago. It came over a pier. It was much bigger. I think it was a 10-foot wave.
Wow.
Killed 8 people. So long story short,
goodness.
Be any shores if there's a big, strong system coming through. If you're hearing the word derecho, bow echo, squall line, stay away from the lake.
Just a good idea.
And serious question, because I live about 2 miles away from the lake. I know that's probably in safe distance, but even still, like, can there be effects that affect people outer, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, this is blowing my mind now. It's like I don't live on the lake, but I live close enough.
Exactly. Oh my God. Okay. Now I'm just going on a whole new rant. Have you heard about the Chicago Museum, the Titanic Museum that flooded? The water just came in out of nowhere.
No.
Come on now. Come on, Brittany. Yeah. You're lying. Come on.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
When did that happen?
With those same storms, but there was no leak in the surface. There's nothing in the roof. There was no pipe that burst. They cannot explain it. So they're a little freaked out.
Do you know what they said about that museum? It was unsinkable.
Nice. Oh. Nice, Craig Buck. All right, just a reminder, before we go to the news at noon, followed by Todd Alba from noon to 2 p.m., we will be covering the presidential debate tonight across civic media. Todd Alba and our news director, Terry Bell, will start their pre-debate coverage starting at 7:30. The debate itself starts at 8 o'clock, supposed to go for about 90 minutes, and then they'll have a 30-minute recap. We came up with a little presidential debate game, Bing Bong Bingo, and it was inspired by listener Penny from La Crosse. And we have actual phrases from both candidates in all of the squares on the bingo card. Go to civicmedia.us, click on Matt Nair on Air, give Greg about an hour to get the show notes posted. Go to the first hour of today's show. There will be a link that you can download, and then you can print off 5 different versions of that bingo card, all the same words, but they're in all different orders, and then take some photos and let us know how it goes. The prizes are up to you. Brittany Merlot joins us every Thursday at this time for Weather and Wine. Thank you so very much, Brittany. Thank you to Greg and Calvin and our engineering department. Without you guys, absolutely nothing works. And thank you most of all to you for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Get those windows open and go outside. News is next. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. See you tomorrow.